The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Off the Record with Trivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Crystal Cruises, and the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. We are still here in Freeport, Grand Bahama, the nation's second city, and still observing things in Freeport. Again, so glad that you could join us. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So if it isn't clear to you by now, it certainly is getting clearer to me. That election right around the corner. No, man, don't beat me up. Don't fight me. Okay, nobody's told me anything. I'm not 100% sure that election is actually around the corner, but the signs seem clear to me. Signs seem fairly clear to me that election is around the corner. Now, let me start with a sign. when I was running for office, right? Before I decided to run for office, I worked in the Prime Minister's office, Hubert Alexander Ingram at the time. I was an investment officer in that office. I had come from Washington, D.C., working in the embassy as a economic attaché and a consular officer. I came to Freeport, Grand Bahama, and went to work in the office of the Prime Minister there. And what happened was, when I was invited to run, and in fact decided to run, Mr. Ingram had a very simple discussion with me about what would happen, what the rules of the game would be. And one of the rules was that as a person working for the government, I would have to resign my seat. Yeah, my office, I'm going to resign my post. That the party, not the government, the party would pay me a salary, would pay me an amount equal to what I was being paid prior to that time, only for the period of the campaign, and that thereafter, if I won. And that's a different story, but if I lost, that was it. Daily wrote the note, you're on your own. But there was no question that I could not be on a government salary and campaigning. That was not a possibility. That would be in breach, depending on the circumstances. It would be in breach of the code of conduct that general orders that govern civil servants and so forth and so forth. And so we weren't even going to have that controversy. We weren't going to have that issue arise. But clearly, when you see public officers that are starting to, for instance, the mid office and hit the campaign trail, that's a pretty good sign that election ain't far away. Well, imagine a director of labor campaigning. Now, not the mid office, you know, but actually on the campaign trail, actually campaigning. Well, I can't imagine why a senior person like that would put himself out in that fashion to Camp David, and except he is aware that the campaign is going to, that the election is going to be soon. Right now, to even take the risk of doing that without having first the middle office would suggest to me that there must be, in his mind, an imminence of election. Because to invite that controversy and to engage that controversy would seem rather odd to me, and could only be to me an indication that you know something about how soon the election is going to be. So that's one thing to me. Now, insofar as the propriety of that is concerned, I mean, listen, folks, I'm sorry, I can't find a way to curb it. I can't find a way to make it sound any better. That's just downright troublesome, right, to be doing that. Okay, so don't ask me if I can find a way to explain it. There are rules about these kinds of things, unnecessary rules. There are rules that try to protect the integrity of your system to deal with a public that's on all sides of the political divide. It's a rule that exists to ensure that the officer himself or herself might be protected from political intimidation and all that kind of stuff. The rules exist for the protection of all. But more than anything else, I'm not so much going at it from the point of view of the correctness of it, which I would clearly suggest is not correct, not appropriate, is not in keeping with anything that I have observed or participated in when I was participating in politics that way. But I come at it from the point of view that it does seem to be a kind of indication to me that election is soon. Again, I don't have any facts. Nobody said to me, okay, election is on this date and the next date or that in any definitive way. I mean, I have some dates in my head, mind you. Some people land some dates in my head for sure. But I don't hold those out as being 100% factual, and so I don't know. But that's one indication that election is soon. I'm seeing some other things that suggest that to me also. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of gearing up for. I see the intensity of the campaign on the ground taking place. I was moving about in Freeport, Grand Bahama yesterday evening. Now, what was yesterday? Yesterday was Sunday. I was about on Saturday too. To be sure, I'm seeing people on the trail campaigning. My understanding from somebody was recently a very high ranking member of the government was about the place campaigning. Now, this is not his area. He doesn't live on ground. People in the area campaigning on behalf of a candidate. And so the intensity of the campaign suggested to me, I'm hearing rumblings from others on the other side about what they are doing in preparation for. And they seem to have a sense of urgency that the election is going to be soon and what have you. So there are signs. There's some other signs that I could talk about, but I want to leave them alone for the moment. Only to say that I think that we could be staring at an election fairly soon. And if that is so, we are going to be going to election soon. And I mean, soon is next year, soon anyways, but I'm talking about sooner than that. So I'm not talking about next year, I'm talking about within the year. And yeah, I could be wrong. I don't think I'm gonna be wrong, but I could be wrong, right? Maybe somebody might change it because then it can make me wrong. I don't know. But if election is coming soon, we, the Bahamian electorate, have got to now begin forming in our minds appropriate approaches, I think, to assessing what it is that we want to do. Now let me be clear. if I had to guess, I would say that a great many people, maybe more than half the Bahamian voters, have already decided what they're going to do. If I was a betting man, I'd say that. If I was a betting man, I'd say the people are pretty much firmed up in their minds what they're going to do. Now, I'm not prepared to say to you what I think they are firmed up in their minds to do. I'm not going to say that. Not today. Maybe not ever. But I would think so. As I move about and I talk to people, and that's by no scientific, it's by no means an effort to suggest that my anecdotal indications would point to the reality of what it is. I would pretty much gather from the people with whom I interact that they are fairly settled on what they are going to do, the majority of them. Fairly settled. Now, my own sense is that once again, the mood in the country is not so much a matter of positive enthusiasm about embracing X or Y, but rather sentiments about dissatisfactions about X and Y. That's what I feel. Once again, there I saw this play out in 1992, where the dissatisfactions was what played itself out, and then maybe in 97 it was about the positive embrace of some. But thereafter, it seemed like we get to a place where our mood is about what we are unhappy about, more so than what we are embracing, because we are enthusiastic in that direction. And so that's my sense of what has to happen. So I think, though, that there remains a group of people who are still trying to determine, you know, what's best. What's best for them, what's best for their family, what's best for the country. I think that there are still that group of people. And so those who are in the campaign now have a very delicate job to do insofar as to make their case. Because on the one hand, you got to be careful. See, the people who are with you are with you. And trying to merely stimulate them to the dissatisfaction of people who are there saying, okay, listen, I'm not that sure, I'm not sold out, I'm not on board yet, I think is a bad way to campaign. You really have to think about campaigns as a matter of addition and multiplication math. And the idea is to get on board, to get embrace people who haven't embraced it yet, right? And so so the question is for the people who are not decided yet, people who are still trying to figure out what to do, how do they go about making up their minds? Now, again, let me say, some of you listening to me, we when you text these shows, when you call these shows, we heard. So really, honestly, you're so settled. On both sides of the political divide, there's the people who are for the FNM, and that's the end of that. Interested in no buggy load of lala from me, you, or anybody else. There are people who are for the PLP, and they are not interested in any bunch of lala. Anyway, they are for the PLP. There are people who are DNA supporters who are going to be for the DNA. And there may be some people who are for others, and that's their determination. When you text and call, you reflect that certainty of position. And so it isn't really so much a question of what you will do. It's a question of what other people who are genuinely uncertain as to which direction they will go in, what it is that they will do. And so this particular thing is going to be, I think, this particular election period is going to be extremely interesting for many reasons. Okay? And some of those reasons, I think, relate to the fact that we are used to political periods in which you have fairly strong leadership personalities as contenders. Okay? I mean, if you go back to the days of Sir Lyndon Pindling and Cecil Wallace Whitfield, okay? Sir Cecil, you go back to those days, those were two really strong personalities. And so, and they were like, I mean, they were like a gladiators in the Colosseum in terms of their politics, right? And then you go to an era in which there was, for a short time, a Pindling versus an Ingram. Again, two very strong personalities, one actually being the protege of the other, right? And then you enter a period, it started to soften a bit with a Christie versus Ingram, right? Two very different personalities, but weighty personalities in the political arena to the extent of their having been very well-known quantities, having had very strong connections to the perhaps the most foremost personality in politics in the country, Sir Lyndon at the time. Now you have, say, a Davis and a Minnis, right? Who I think you will gather from both of them that theirs is not the kind of personalities that become endearing because of their oratory or the strength of their charisma or the strength of their leadership, flexing, etc. I think they both concede that they have strengths in different ways, right? Their personalities aren't going to impose themselves on the campaign. This will probably be the first time in our political history where that is true for both sides, where you are going to have both sides essentially not have a strongman leader in terms of personality, charisma, or oratory. Rooted A. That is not going to be. So people are not going to be pointing to their man per se and saying, this is my man because of personalities. That's not what's going to happen. You might have indirect pointings to the man as in, here's a generous man, or here is somebody who is, you know, more humble, somebody might say, or here's a man who, you know, embraces people who others may not have embraced. You might get that kind of talk, but you're not going to get any talk about this being my man or this being your man because of the imposing personalities they have. And we have not seen that in our politics in an election before. Not that day. Like when you had, for instance, in Sir Kendall Isaacs, a very humble, sort of quieter, not a exceptionally great oratorical person against, say, a Sir Lyndon. So you had at least one strong personality in the contest with Sir Lyndon and Sir Cecil. It was two strong personalities with Sir Lyndon and Mr. Ingram. You had two strong personalities, even though one was probably on the decline in politics. But today, in the arena, we won't have that. So that's one of the things that's true about what's going to happen in this election. We are also going to have an election in which the environment has been absolutely disrupted and deteriorated by a series of catastrophic events in Dorian and the pandemic, and setting a backdrop for hardship and difficulty and challenges, both on the personal level and on the governmental level. We have not seen that level of disruption in the backdrop of an election in a long time. Now, you may have seen some disruption in the Gulf War in 91, with lingering effects on the economy leading into 1992, for sure, but not this, what we are now seeing take place. And so what that does to the mood and sentiments of a population is something to behold. And so that's going to be, I think, another interesting variable in the election environment in the Bahamas in this election coming up. So that's going to be another something. You also have now, we've always had third parties. We've always had third party options in the country. So nobody should believe that that is new. That's new. We've also had third party options. But I don't know that we have had, as many as many vocal, cohesive third parties as we might now have. And if nothing else, just the rhetoric of voters about their dissatisfaction of the two leading parties. I don't know if we've had that, the rhetoric. I mean, I don't know that that's going to translate into votes for third parties. I don't know. I have my doubts about it. The extent to which, not that they won't get votes, but the extent to which they'll get any significant number of votes. But at least in rhetoric, the level of dissatisfaction about both parties seems higher now than ever before. And the environment does not seem like an enthusiastic, only FNMP environment, even though I think in the end, that's what it might translate into, and for the most part, that level of enthusiasm ain't quite there yet, but maybe that's because somebody's waiting for the bell to ring. And then we'll see what happens after that. So it's an environment for sure than we have seen in the past elections for some of the reasons that I just gave. You might have some other reasons as to why this one is different, right? You might have some reasons for why this one is different. In any event, if you are a voter and you are looking at an impending election, the question is, if you are a voter who has not yet put your feet firmly planted in any camp, the question is, how do you approach deciding on where you should cast your support in this election? That's the question, right? So you have that, and we are going to talk through that question. Not so much, but we're going to talk to that question. Some of it today, but not maybe totally. And then if you are on the other side of the fence campaigning, how do you approach convincing that voter that you should be the one? Now, here's what is true. In the last election, Dr. Hubert Minnis, our now prime minister, could claim to have not been an incumbent prime minister. Notwithstanding, he was a cabinet minister in the Ingram administration, he was not prime minister. So what he could do as prime minister was not a known quantity, was not a known thing. That will not be true or possible this time around. So he has been prime minister now going on 5 years. Mr. Davis, he has not been prime minister, and therefore no one can claim what he would do and be as prime minister, was a deputy prime minister. That is also a new for us in this upcoming election. We have never had a sitting prime minister contest against a leading party with a former deputy prime minister. We've had a former prime minister contest against a former cabinet minister. We've had a sitting prime minister contest against a former prime minister. But we've not had the current prime minister contest against the former deputy prime minister. And so both of them now come with some records, even if their records are not in the same postings. They both come with governmental experience that people could draw upon to say, okay, let me look at your track record and see if that tells me anything about what you are likely to do going forward. So that makes this period interesting as well. And so for the people who are campaigning, what approach should be taken toward campaigning in this environment, this different environment that we have? We're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langyo. We'll be back after this break.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage for the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Crystal Cruises is setting sail for the Bahamas once again. Crystal will follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and guests safe and protect the environment, Crystal's decision to homeport in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
Let's face it, in an increasingly competitive market, your business needs a competitive edge. That means offering your employees the benefits they want. Give them the benefit of retiring their way with the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. Choose from some of the best performing investment funds in the market while taking advantage of low administrative costs and professional management. Whether you're a team of 2 or 2,000, our pension specialists can design a plan for you. Contact us at pensions@rfgroup.com to learn more about the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. Money at work.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call on the show at all, you have us to do so. 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. 439-3043. Let me tell you something. You got to love the Bahamas. You got to love it, because only in the Bahamas you could be doing a show in this beautiful sun, wonderful breeze, looking very much close up at coconuts in a tree. What a beautiful country. Anyway, I was saying to you before we took the break that essentially, I believe there is going to be an election soon enough. And I gave you some of my reasons for believing that. And I indicated that people who are of genuine undecidedness, not people who have decided. And I know in politics, there are different kinds of decided people. There are people who have decided that they can vote one way or the other, and they campaign for that side. They talk for that side. So you don't have to worry about them. They are firmly in the camp. And then there are people who are decided, and if you ask them what they can do, they can tell you, but China, I make up my mind yet. I can see, because none of them has impressed me. And when you hear people saying none of them has impressed me, they already got a side. You don't let everybody fool you. They basically know what they're going to do. Now, if you hear somebody say, well, you know, I'm looking at this or looking at that, I'm not sure, quite sure yet, you probably have a fairly good undecided. See, you know, but that's been my experience, right? People that who are more open-minded tend not so much to, while they may express their concerns about one thing or the other, if you listen long enough, you don't get a sense that they are punching any one side in the belly consistently. You don't get that. But people who are really decided, you will hear them. They punch in something. Like somebody, if they really interested in the PLP, but they want you to know, they will, as you listen to them talk long enough, you will hear them keep punching the PLP, punching the PLP. Or if it's an F&M, you'll hear them punching the F&M all the time. And so you sense of where people are in terms of their genuine. So I'm talking about what authentically undecided people might do. Now, how many of those there are in the country, I really honestly do not know. Is it a sizable number? I do not know. Or what have you. But I believe there is a number. There's a group. And I believe that that group is a group that is going to be much watched and so forth, because ultimately, you know, they could make a difference on one side or another. And how these people approach the election and approach who they should vote for is a very interesting question in this environment. Okay, now, from my own experience, I do not know that many of us, when we have gone to vote, have tried to use tried to use objective measurements to decide how we're going to vote. Let me give you an example. So let me give you an example of that. You ask the question, did Mr. Christie run a good government? Okay, that's when he was in office. Is Dr. Minnis running a good government? Okay. Now, beside your feelings about what ticked you off or didn't tick you off about what they did or did not do, what about measurements? Like, what are the measurements of that? Okay. So let's say crime is an issue. Is there a measurement in respect of what is happening with crime that might tell you whether Mr. Christie or the minister ran a good government? So if you look at crime as an issue, and murder is one of the things that we really tend to look at, you might hear people say, yeah, crime, murder might be down, but that's only because of the pandemic. But is that true? Is there not measurements before the pandemic that might have suggested murders were down or so forth, so forth? That's just one. In terms of the economy, where was the growth? And how would we know? Well, we can only know that if the Department of Statistics gave us some numbers to tell us where things were. And we now have from the Department of Statistics quarterly GDP numbers. We have GDP numbers for by island that we can look at and say, okay, did it move?
Let's face it. In an increasingly competitive market, your business needs a competitive edge. That means offering your employees the benefits they want. Give them the benefit of retiring their way with the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. Choose from some of the best performing investment funds in the market while taking administrative costs and professional management. Whether you're a team of 2 or 2,000, our pension specialists can design a plan for you. Contact us at pensions@rfgroup.com to learn more about the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. RF Money.
At Solomon's, we know that every day comes with its own unique challenges, but grocery shopping doesn't have to be one of them. That's why we're committing to providing a wide variety of quality products at the best prices, ensuring that each time you shop, we've got exactly what you need to help you live better. So whether it's essential everyday grocery items, grade A meats, or fresh produce, you'll find your pick at Solomon's. Welcome to Solomon's, the everyone store.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, the country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. Essentials. Serious radio, serious people committed to advancing the national conversation.
The Essentials with Hubert Edwards, Thursday nights live at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Are you interested in the Bahamian economy? How about tips to improve your financial literacy? Tune in to Guardian Radio's newest financial podcast series, C-File Talks. The podcast will provide listeners with their weekly dose of economic issues and solutions and the keys to financial freedom. C-File Talks will be hosted by an array of finance experts here to give honest and beneficial advice. You won't want to miss the C-File Talks podcast series, Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Track and field is the queen of the Olympic Games.
In its seventh season, Track World with Alpheus Phillipson, the only radio show in the Bahamas and one of the few in the world dedicated to our beloved sport, continues to promote the athletes, coaches, officials, leadership, and the partners who make a difference in our sport.
We encourage you to tune in to Track World on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM each Tuesday evening on cable channel 969, on Guardian Radio's website www.guardiantalkradio.com, or streaming live on Facebook at 6:30 and be dazzled.
Concerned about your health? Have a health question that you're curious about? Ask the doctor. The Doctor is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. We're talking health, wellness, and all things that pertain to the Bahamian society and the health of the nation. Tune in Tuesday nights at 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Doctor is In on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Amanda Colson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and your host on Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. When artists look at a blank canvas, what do they see? Not an empty void without meaning, but a horizon, infinite possibility, on which they can bring their dreams and ideas to fruition. On The Blank Canvas, we have lively discussions about art and culture in all its aspects, with creative thinkers and cultural leaders from the community. Learn about your visual culture and creative community. Tune in and listen to The Blank Canvas on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is your host, Valentino Brand, Inside the Inner City. Join us as we continue to tell our stories, challenges, talk about the history, and share our hopes and dreams. Tune into Inside the Inner City on Fridays at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And remember, the place in which I fit will not exist until I make it.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
When you really need to save big, you need to shop Super Value and Quality Supermarkets. Rainbow Spaghetti and Meatballs, 14.8-ounce can, 3 for $3.19. Promo's Peanut Butter, 18-ounce jar, $2.89. Amalanda Fresh Milk, 33.8-ounce size, $1.39. Green Peppers, $1.49 per pound. Chicken Leg Quarters, 10-pound bag, $1.09 per pound. Working hard every day to keep your prices down. That's Super Value and Quality Supermarkets.
Tips for keeping children healthy. Ensure that children are up to date with their vaccinations, including the flu vaccine. Make sure that your children practice preventative actions such as proper hand washing. Teach them to cover the nose and mouth with tissue or the inner elbow when coughing or sneezing. Encourage them to keep their hands away from their eyes, nose, and mouth. Explain that they should keep their distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Keep your children home when they are sick.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
We'll be right back.
Solomon's, we know that every day comes with its own unique challenges, but grocery shopping doesn't have to be one of them. That's why we're committing to providing a wide variety of quality products at the best prices, ensuring that each time you shop, we've got exactly what you need to help you live better. So whether it's essential everyday grocery items, grade A meats, or fresh produce, you'll find your pick at Solomon's. Welcome to Solomon's, the everyone store.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texan. Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cause, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation.
The Essentials with Hubert Edwards, Thursday nights live at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we are airing live from Freeport, Grand Bahama. And I'm sorry we had a disruption in the middle of my trying to say to you that if you're somebody who is genuinely trying to decide what to do in what I believe to be an impending general election, you may be one of those people who, like many, many Bahamians, who don't look to objective measures of a government's, a party's, a leader's performance. And I was using the example of the fact that we now have quarterly statistics produced by the Department of Statistics. And what does that mean? That means that you can actually tell what an economy has done from quarter to quarter, so that if an election comes in the middle of the year, you won't be shorthanded in knowing whether or not, say, quarter by quarter, the economy was trending in a given direction. So you could tell what the economy did in a pandemic quarter by quarter, or prior to years, prior quarter by quarter. And that gives you, can tell you, okay, has the government, if you believe, or has any government, and been having an impact on the growth of the economy? Similarly, for unemployment, and even these days now, the Department of Statistics has statistics by island, so you can get to tell over time, maybe not this time around, but over time, what a government has done in terms of the growth of an economy. In fact, it is for several years now, island by island, what the economy has been doing. Similarly, in terms of education and these kinds of things, you can look at the metric and ask, did it change? Did the metric change? Now, no, if there are metrics that are properly calculated by other people who we respect and regard, institutions in particular, then we don't have to have opinions on that. Now, we can have opinions on whether I believe the government did well for me and my family versus whether it has done well for something that is a measure of what the country is doing. That's a different story. We can certainly have debates about that. But the typical thing has been for us to kind of get a sense of, and I understand that, a sense of what our experience has been. And experience has to come for something. It has to come for something. If you don't think it for anything, just look at what the parties are doing when they are showing their campaign ads. The campaign ads for Dr. Minnis, people come on and they say, you know, I did this. I went away to school. I studied this. Dr. Minnis, those are doing this, and I have been able to benefit in this way. The Small Business Development Center has been able to fund me this way. But that's an experience you have as an individual. The question is, did that translate into a broader sphere of experience for the rest of the population? One doesn't know. You know, that requires some kind of measurement. But the parties believe that listening to somebody else's experience with the party counts. Mr. Davis does the same thing. His ads talk about, some people say, well, you know, I've had this experience with Mr. Davis, and he's a kind gentleman, and blah, blah, blah. That's because they are now trying to draw on the experience of a person with the person. So no one can discount how we experience government and how that translates into whether we want to support a government or not support a government, support a party or not support a party. But in point of fact, though, let's be honest, every personal experience isn't a country experience. See, if lots of children are benefiting from a scholarship program, but my child or my children did not, then I might say, well, you know, ain't nobody really getting help from these people in scholarship. Well, in point of fact, that's not true. So it is a question of how to move through. And a part of the question is going to be the experience that people have had in their lives. Now, the problem with that is if you go through a hurricane as severe as Dorian and the pandemic as significantly impactful as it was, you might say, then the party in office is going to be at a disadvantage having had to deal with and cope with those things, as you would have some supporters of the FNM say. And so if my experience has been enormously impacted by those things beyond the control of the government, per se, then you might say that's unfair to the government. Well, is it really? Or is it that people can assess that this thing that happened to us was beyond your control, but let me look at how you dealt with it, and that is what I judge you on. I would dare say that Mr. Ingram, Hubert Alexander Ingram, probably helped himself enormously, having come to office in 1992, only shortly to have Andrew hit the country and affect a couple of the islands significantly, but in the way he responded, to the extent that people believe that it was efficient and was impactful, helped cement a bit of his decisiveness and control and that kind of thing. So it is not unusual for crises to actually make leaders appear to others to be even stronger. Sir Winston Churchill, for that matter, was not very well regarded as a member of Chamberlain's cabinet when he was a cabinet minister. He was regarded as brash, rough, unsophisticated in his diplomacy and all these kinds of things. He was reluctantly embraced by his own party when it was decided that there was no confidence in Chamberlain as prime minister, and the parliament was about to vote no confidence. And they reluctantly selected Sir Winston Churchill as prime minister, right? The king himself was not eager to do so and preferring somebody else in it. But as it turned out, in the crisis of the war in which Germany was invading Europe and had been on the brink of overtaking France, and if it took France, ultimately all of Europe and, in fact, the United Kingdom would have been taken, Churchill stood out in those moments as a formidable leader. The crisis made him. George W. Bush, many believe, gained enormous popularity in the wake of 9/11, the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. And so it isn't true that the crisis makes it impossible for people to see you as a capable and competent leadership group or team or leader. And what is true is the extent to which they perceive that your handling of the crisis accentuated your skillfulness as leader and as a leadership team. And I think that certainly the Minister Administration will have that as something by which they shall be evaluated in this upcoming election. Mr. Davis will have it somewhat indirectly because his administration had to deal with Joaquin, and while he was not prime minister, he was minister of public works. And so there will be those who may be able to ask the question whether or not in those crises he showed the kind of skillfulness and stamina that warrants a vote of confidence in his ability to lead. And so crisis doesn't have to disqualify anyone. In fact, it can qualify you. It can qualify you for leadership, right? But there are ways in which now we are being called upon to examine these people offering for leadership, and to do so beyond, I'm not saying to exclude, but to do so beyond our own personal anecdotal experiences under their charge or under their leadership. And some of that might be by looking at the actual objective evidence of progress or regress in the country. Things that we can measure and how those things have moved and the extent to which we believe that they have been impactful on those things. That is a part of what we are going to be called upon to do. I had an interesting set of conversations today about this very same thing with folks, with some folks who we were talking about the country and talking about the leadership and talking about politicians. And I have to say that this comes out very clearly to me when I'm listening to folk, that there are a lot of people who really, really want the country to do well. Okay, let's start off there. And that's a great thing. Okay, that's a great thing. They really want better for the country. They want better for themselves, but they want better for the country. Okay, that's a great thing. And I would have to say that when I listen to people, I'd have to say that there is no question in my mind that some people are all about how can we make the country do better. Now, there are plenty of people ain't got a hint of interest in that. They're about themselves. They're about their own things. And whether they have an MPLP or DNA depends on whether they have an MPLP or DNA treated them well or promised to treat them well. They ain't interested in nothing collective about the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Get mad at me if you want. You know that's true. You don't get a government job, you ain't no good. I don't care what you do good for the country, you ain't no good. They don't get a government contract, you ain't no good. I don't care what you did for the country, no good. Doesn't make it no difference if it was FNM, PLP. Yeah, I vote FNM. Yeah, I vote PLP. But they ain't do nothing for me. They still only like doing for... As a person who participated in politics, you used to get this one. Man, you ain't looking out for y'all people. You ain't looking out for y'all people. So you have some people who, they all about them. They all about them. No, the Bahamas only good when they good. The Bahamas only bad when they bad. They couldn't care less. But the vast majority of people, and to my mind, the majority of people are about trying to make sure we can have a better country. Now, I'm not altogether sure they know what that better is altogether, because sometimes we're not even looking at the measurements of where we are to know whether we are there or not. We have views about what we are about. We have views about what we think we're doing. We don't have any historical context for that. We don't have any global context for that. We have no studied appreciation of that. But we have a feeling, a sense of where we are and so forth and so forth. And we want that to be better. We want to be better. We want a country that is progressive and thriving and prospering and flourishing and modernizing and efficient and effective. We want that. There's no question about that. We want that for ourselves. So I'm of that I am convinced. But also, what I have seen in my discussions with people is that, listen to me, folks. Well, you don't even have to listen to me, because you may be able to testify with this yourself. There is, first of all, huge cynicism about politicians and politics. It is huge. Okay? The sense that politicians and politics could have any integrity, any honesty, any genuine interest in the country other than their own personal aggrandizement, that sense is as low as the temperature in Antarctica. And a sad state of affairs. And don't put this on Dr. Minnis and his team, or Mr. Davis and his team. This seems to have spanned generations. Now I will say, the younger generation tend to be especially cynical compared to the older generation. My experience with older generations is where the disgruntlement rests is often tied to something done to them personally, or tied to a disaffection that they have observed in the conduct and performance of the leadership or the parties that they supported. That's been my experience. But younger people have a general, not you do anything to me, you didn't get me a job. There's a general perception that politics and politicians ain't nothing but self-serving, self-interested, self-aggrandizing human beings without an ounce of honesty or moral code. And that's sad, right? And so what happens is, when you are talking to them, much of their view of what is happening in the country or what is possible to happen for the country is colored by that. Mind you, and I'm talking to people, as I'm talking to them knowing that they see me as one of them politicians. Yeah, and I know that I can straighten nothing out. I'm just telling you what it is. All right, so that's the second thing I've observed. So first thing, they care about, they want the country to be better. They are very skeptical about whether politicians can deliver that better because of their polypersonal pursuit of their personal interest. And then thirdly, there is a very limited knowledge of what is actually happening in too many instances in the country. There is what they heard from this one, what they heard from that one, what people are saying, what the street is saying, and so forth and so forth. But as to what in point of fact is happening, not so well known. Now, why that is, I can't all together say, but it is a problem. It is a problem. It is a problem. This person said, excellent point on campaigning, sir. Well, I'm not entirely sure which point that is. A little removed from that point by now. This Texas, good afternoon. On so the road today, good education for political leaders. We have some additional text here. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. It looks like the union is feeling the same as you do, and that's why they are now putting some pressure on the government to meet most of their demands. This text is very, you mean because the unions are seeing the elections coming? I suspect so. It says, very hard to figure out a strategy for this election. One broad range of candidates that the electorate can identify with, or you're doomed. Mr. Lang, in my opinion, Mr. Minnis and the FNM should be given another 5 years. I don't see the PRP restarting the economic engine of this country, just talking and promising. I will take my chances with Minnis, and I am a PRP. Okay. All right. This text says, afternoon, Mr. Lang. John Pinder is the director of labor, and he is campaigning in Fox Hill to run again. I talked about that, did I not? Yeah, the director of labor. This text says, afternoon, Mr. Lang. John Pinder is the director. Okay, yeah, you just said that. Sent it twice. Okay? Sent it twice. Well, as for the strategy in this upcoming election, I would dare say that and agree with you that finding one may be difficult. I mean, strategy is about making choices, a set of choices that enable you to win. Okay, making a set of choices that enable you to put you in the best position to win. That's the strategy. That's what we mean by strategy. It's always a set of decisions. So if you are on the Minnis side of the table or you're on the Davis side of the table, the question is, what are the set of decisions that you have to make to win? Now, that strategy would start with knowing the mind of voters. Well, as much as you can, knowing what they want. Because at the end of the day, election campaigns are popularity competitions. Okay? The first past the post, you get the popular vote, you get the most people vote for you in a constituency, you win. Don't make no difference if it's 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 people more than the other person, you win. So can you persuade a majority of people to vote for you or your candidate in a constituency? more than the other person can get people to vote for their candidate? That's the question. Now, you go into that constituency with a base. If you didn't tick off your supporters and made them feel alienated and isolated and discouraged and so forth and disillusioned, you go in with a base of support. And then on top of that, you get new voters. So these are your young people that just turned 18 and registered. Basically, their politics tends to be their parents' politics until it's not. And then you get the floaters. They voted for you last time. They ain't necessarily gonna vote for you this time. And the next time after that, they may not vote for you that time. You have those floaters. So it's basically trying to understand what your base is, because your base, more than anything else, if they're enthusiastic, they are going to try to help you get there. They're not going to be the ones preoccupying your time. Your messages aren't going to be about trying to get them on board. And so there's no use FNMN for them. It is those young people and those floaters that you're concerned about. Who are they? How many of them are male? How many of them are female? You know? What are their education level? What's the biggest issues confronting them? What are their greatest fears and anxieties? What are their greatest hopes? What is their what are their great aspirations? Trying to get a sense of, can I speak to them? If you're an incumbent party, as Dr. Minnis and his team would be this time around, what are their views about you? You don't want nobody fake it to you. You don't want nobody lie to you. You want to try and get the truth as much as you can. If they dick the right off with you, you want to know that, because you want to know, is it possible for them to be moved from that dissatisfaction? So the strategy is about making a set of decisions as to, one, how much intelligence can I gather about the state of mind of voters today? And what motivates them at the moment to support any one side? Is it economics? Is it social? Is it personal? What is motivating them? And can I tap into that motivation to get them to hear me? Do I have a personality issue? Is any of my candidate or candidates posing a personality problem or challenge for a voter? Am I, as leader, posing a personality challenge for voters? What is there that could prevent me from getting the vote of that young person that I can do something about? That's what the strategy has to be about. That's not the strategy. I'm just saying what the strategy has to be about. And I have to agree that in this current environment, depending on what side of the political divide you're on, that strategy is challenging. You know, it's always easier in an economically flourishing environment to get the support of people, especially if you are governing in that environment. It's always easier. That was one of Mr. Ingram's great fortune in 1997. The economy of the Bahamas was on an upswing. Meaningful gains had been made in the unemployment rate. And people had been experiencing a more prosperous situation than they had been experiencing in times past. And so it wasn't surprising that there was a great deal of enthusiasm about re-electing him, right? And Mr. Ingram, and so re-elect he did. He did get. But then by the time as 2002 had rolled around, that economic surge had started to dwindle. And with it also some thoughts and views about the governing style of Mr. Ingram. Mr. Pinling, for a long and extended period of time, just enjoyed the inertia of his paternal championing of the Bahamian people over the years and bringing us to majority rule and independence and so forth and so forth. He enjoyed a kind of cultural and iconic push in governance, but that started to wane in the 80s. And by 87, there was a growing and a sizable disaffection with him. And Mr. Ingram came when it kind of brought a tipping point for that disaffection, because there were people who could come along with him out of the PLP and join the crowds of FNMs in producing a majority capable of dethroning Sir Lyndon and his party at that time. But it's all about being able to persuade enough voters. And in this environment, depending on which side you are on, that's a challenging strategy to develop. This text says 911 struck a heavy blow. It did. And, you know, it makes the economy matters. Be sure of that. The economy matters. And it can have direct and indirect influence on voters' perception of how they are being governed. That's for sure. Just like in households, when the money ain't right, it can bring great strain on relationships. In countries, when the economy is not right, it can bring great strain in the elected and the electors. Now, a bad economic environment clearly works against the incumbent, but it doesn't automatically produce a benefit for the opposition, because the folks still have to calculate whether or not the opposition has the wherewithal to translate their abilities into better economic times for them. And in the case of the current opposition, people then get to look at the opposition's performance when it was in government and ask the question, well, what happened then? Okay? And so strategy, it might be, some might say, for the Davis administration, just hang low, stay low, let the others do their do and see if that's enough to make people just decide, yeah, it's time for a change. Or do I get up and rise up and really be more vocal and try to drive this dagger in and so forth, so forth? That's another strategy. You know what I mean? It's an interesting environment to be in. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Send pics of the damage, file my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
Pay for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp is back! That's right, it's time for the 33rd Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 5th through July 30th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily for boys and girls ages 5 to 18 years at the Blue Hill Sporting Complex Sports Center. Registration forms available at the Seventh-day Adventist office, Tony Williams Darling Highway, and at jeffrogersbasketballcamp.com. Call 818-4509 for more details. It's the 33rd annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 5th through July 30th.
You asked for it, and now it's here. Introducing the all-new plant-based Rebel Whopper only at Burger King Nassau. The new Rebel Whopper is everything you expect in a Whopper with a meatless plant-based patty that is flame-grilled to perfection with all the fixings you love on that famous sesame seed bun. Come try out the new Rebel Whopper with fries and a Pepsi and see if you can 100% Whopper, 0% beef, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Let's face it, in an increasingly competitive market, your business needs a competitive edge. That means offering your employees the benefits they want. Give them the benefit of retiring their way with the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. Choose from some of the best performing investment funds in the market while taking advantage of low administrative costs and professional management. Whether you're a team of 2 or 2,000, our pension specialists can design a plan for you. Contact us at pensions@rfgroup.com to learn more about the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Golang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm so glad that you could join us today in these remaining moments of the show. Please feel free to give us a call on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I feel an election coming. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel election fever in the air. Let me be clear on that. I don't feel election fever in the air, but I certainly get a sense from some indicators that it ain't far now. It ain't long now. There are things that you could see that clearly points to a soon general election to me. but I could be wrong. So let me ask you a question. What's your priorities in this election coming up? What are your priorities? What are the things? I mean, honestly, I am so kind of the level of skepticism and cynicism that exists in the population around our politics and around our politicians and around our governors. It is just a concern because, you know, we've had a stellar history of voting participation, of enthusiasm about our elections. We've been a very passionate people about them. And you need that. You want that to continue, but that will wane if people begin to be too cynical about what is actually happening or what have you, and don't believe that their vote will count for anything, don't believe it'll make a difference, that isn't going to be helpful. But as you face campaigners, what are your priorities? What are the things, like, I mean, really, if you thought that yours and that the people who you elected would actually make the difference, what's that difference? What's the priority differences you would be looking for? Huh? Tell me, what would it be? What would be the things you would say, listen, boy, you delivered this for me, and I am super happy you delivered that for me, and I am super happy. What were those things? Is it more jobs? Is it more pay? Is it, as they like to say, better grades in the schools? Is it better hospitals? Is it better taxation? Is it, what is it? What would be those things? Because ultimately, if you have a set of priorities that that you are looking at, this is what you should be putting to these people who come to campaign at your doors. Now, don't cut yourself short now. Don't be talking to a man who can help you set up a business about how to get $5. And don't talk to a man about who could get you a career about how to get some chicken and fries for a couple of days. Right? Know your bigger interest, your larger interest, and work for that. You know, work for and ask for and fight for and advocate for the things that will truly make a difference. Right? See, you could get a man to help you put burglar bars on your house, but if the whole neighborhood is overridden with crime and criminals, you still ain't got no good place to live. So you would like, you'd rather be dealing with and talking to a man who could deliver on something for your neighborhood as opposed to merely your own house. Now, plenty of people don't think like this, but it is the way to think about it. Better you be safe on a boat than somebody on you one life floater and everybody else drowning in the process. I think it'll make you better off. I mean, you might live, but is that truly what you want rather than the whole situation being delivered? What are your priorities? Things that you want to see done. Now, listen to mom. And I have a piece of an article I was reading about this that really affected me profoundly. And what the article said is, when you gain clarity about what you want, you gain certainty about how to navigate the world. Because very often, you're frustrated to what others are doing to you. It's about what you do not understand about yourself. And so knowing what is important to you, knowing what you desire, is more important than being irritated about what you thought other people were doing to you. Because in selecting who is going to be and sit at the helm of government the next time around has to be tied into your own aspirations, my own aspirations for the country. They will come with ideas about what they want to see done. And you can't blame them for that. They will have some ideas about that. But is that as important as when they come to you saying, being able to say, no, I mean, that's something you'd like to do. But have you considered this? Have you considered that? And if so, why not? If not, why not? If so, what considerations have you made in that regard? Now, we could decide whether in this next election we're going to have a jokey election or we're going to have a serious election. We could decide that. You can decide what it's going to be about. Listen to me. I'm going to watch you now. I'm going to observe you. I'm going to observe. And if you decide to have a jokey election that's about peripheral things, like who is dressed like this, who does talk like that, and who can't talk like this, and who does do that, and who does do these kind of little things, if you decide to make the election about trivial things and not the things that truly matter, if you decide not to engage the contenders in a discussion about it, then that's up to you. And I shall observe, and I will note, and I will say, well, at the end of the day, we got jokey leaders because we elected jokey leaders because we asked jokey questions and we deliberated about jokey things. We didn't ask any serious questions. We didn't look at any meaningful issues. We didn't talk about any meaningful policies. And so the people we got were obviously the most popular on the non-meaningful things. And so therefore we got non-meaningful, popular people that's now going to give us what we get. And I'm going to mention it. I really will. Honestly. We got to think it through. Right? If you're going to have a passionate discussion about immigration that's grounded in nothing other than your prejudice, grounded in nothing but your dislike for people of a sort, I'm going to call you out on it. And if you get leaders that are the same thing, bless the Lord. You got what you deserve. We got what we deserve. I'm good with that. But if you're going to ask for people who can dispassionately examine the nuances and sophistication and complexity of the immigration issues such that whether we agree or disagree, we would have agreed that we had an enlightening discussion that probably brought us nearer to a understanding and a means of dealing with our situation, that I am just going to celebrate that we have taken a serious step toward maturity in our deliberations on that matter. You are not going to be able to come to me, I'm sorry, and tell me how I am voting for them because they didn't give me a promotion. You could tell me that, but you ain't get me to take you seriously. I'm going to tell you a joker. You are joking. I really am. I'll be honest with you. I'm warning you now because your personal promotion as a condition for voting for, to me, is small talk and pettiness. That's not a lie. That you're disappointed and you weren't promoted, I understand that. And I can see you being disappointed. But to equivocate that with the success of the country, I'm sorry. You don't come to me with it. I'm just warning you. I'm warning you, please, go to take it to someone else. I'm sorry, I'm not telling you can't take it to someone else. Just don't bring it to me. If you didn't get a government job or you didn't get a government house and you come to me and you tell me that that's the reason why you ain't voting for or you voting for, again, I'm not going to take you seriously. I won't. If you come and tell me, oh, I can't vote for this man because he didn't like my mummy or my daddy or he didn't did. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you you're joking. I really am. I'm gonna feel that same way for the less of two evils. Because if you have to vote for the less of two evils and you're gonna vote, you're still voting for evil and you're telling me that you're prepared to support evil. And I'm gonna tell you something wrong with you. Something's wrong with that, because rather than vote for the lesser two evils, I'd rather not vote. If it's for the lesser two evils, if you tell me I'm going to vote, one guy is okay and the other one is, less okay, I can deal with that. But the lesser two evils, I ain't voting for no evil. You can't get me to choose between poo and vomit. That ain't no choice. That's a non-choice. You say, so you're going to stop? Probably. Or if at least I'm going to wait until I can scrounge up something a little better than that. So we have to decide whether we have a serious, like we, listen to me, folks. Like, the voters of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas love to kick and stomp and row and cuss the politicians. But no politician in the Bahamas who is elected ever elected themselves. None. You cannot tell people, listen, I is the candidate, I'm the winner, boom, that's the end of it. Can't happen. It is not possible, and it's never happened in the Bahamas. You vote for people. And since you've been disgusted with both sides, you have voted for both sides. So don't tell me nothing, but oh, they vote for them. No, you vote for them sometimes, the PLP, and they lost. Then you vote for the FNM sometimes, they lost. And so you vote for both. but with some more seriousness, some more thought and seriousness, we can make Dr. Minnis, we can make Mr. Davis, we can make their candidates search their own selves. We can do it. We can make them search their own selves. You, whatever your party affiliation, you can make your party step up. You can make the other party step up by being a genuine seeker of a strategic govern your country. You can do that. And I can do that. I surely know I can do that. I can tell you, boy, you know, I've been on the other side of the fence. I've dealt with voters who are just like, just don't care. I've dealt with voters who care a whole lot. I've dealt with voters who was only about themselves. And I've dealt with voters who were loving their community and interested in their community. And I can tell you that each of them have had an impact on me, but the ones who really pushed me to evaluate what it was I was doing and why I was doing it and how I proposed to do it were the ones that made the biggest difference in my life as a candidate and as a representative. And you can do that and we can do that. So, you know, the thing is coming. Thing is coming. Make up your mind. You've been listening to Z Live and Chicago Line, your host. Listen, have a great evening. Now, how's your block? Is up next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my